bless you, we honor you, and we praise you. As we were sharing before the service, praises and prayer requests, one of the praises, God, was just the beauty of your creation. And Lord, your word says that your glory is revealed in creation, that your creation speaks day after day. It pours forth speech. Night after night, it declares knowledge. There is no speech, there is no language where its voice is not heard. So, Father, we praise you that you are the creator, God. You are the worthy one. You are the holy one. Isaiah saw you high and lifted up, holy, holy, holy. And his response to seeing you in your holiness was, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And Father, what we say is important. What comes out of our mouth is important, because it's out of our heart. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, and we ask you, as Isaiah did, to take the tongs from the altar and to purify our mouths, to purify our tongues, that what we say would be edifying to you, that what we would say, Lord, would build one another up and not tear one another down. Father, I pray you would forgive us for the way that we've used our mouths, Lord, to accuse. We've partnered with the accuser to bring condemnation and accusations. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would forgive us. We thank you that you are the Holy One. There is no one like you in heaven or on earth. Holy are you. Worthy are you, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. And God, we come here today to celebrate you, the resurrected one, the worthy one, the serpent who was under our feet. He's crushed, Lord, under your bloody feet. And Lord, we praise you and bless you. And Lord, we just need to stand in the victory that's been won. God, we praise you and bless you and honor you for Casey, Bob, and Carolyn Dial's granddaughter, Lord, who that aneurysm she had, Lord, all of the medical doctors, everything, Lord, she should be dead. But Lord, you've raised that girl to life. And we bless you and we thank you for Casey. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the calling that's on her and on her and on her children. And Lord, we just bless Casey. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise for that report. And Lord, just bless her, continue to strengthen her. And we ask you, Lord, for continued good reports for Casey. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Bishop Beard's daughter who had a heart attack. We thank you, God, for the good report that she's alive, that she's going to be all right. And Lord, we just pray for her, just your mercy on her continued recovery. We pray healing for Bishop Beard and his eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Mercy, God, in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Mary Ann Showalter. Lord, it's so sad not being able to visit her. She's afraid. Lord, we pray right now, Prince of Peace, that you would enter the room. And Lord, we pray for her soul, God, that there would be peace there. Mercy, God, in her heart, in Jesus' name. Peace on her mind right now, in Jesus' name. We command those tormenting spirits, those spirits of fear, to leave her mind now, in Jesus' name. And we speak peace, the shalom of God, over Mary Ann, in Jesus' name. Pray comfort for Gordy and his sister, Lord, as they love her, care for her from afar. God, we just ask mercy. Mercy, mercy, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for Jovi's friend, Connie, who has cancer, stage 3 cancer. And Lord, we thank you that you cancel the written code. Lord, that in your word says there's healing in your wings. That the doctors say one thing, but God, we don't deny that. But Lord, we thank you that you're a healer. And we pray healing on Connie in Jesus' name. Restoration, God, to her body. We pray, Father, for Bonnie Williams. We thank you for her. We pray continued mercy and healing on Bonnie in Jesus' name. Mercy on Jerry in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Darlene. COVID, been in there for a while, fighting for her life. We thank you that Darlene is still alive. And Lord, we pray strength for her body, strength to her organs, strength to those lungs. Command the inflammation in those lungs to go in Jesus' name. Raise her up, Father. We speak strength. ourselves in Jesus' name. Lord, I just speak over Darlene that she will not die, but she will live, and she will declare the wondrous deeds of God. Lord, we thank you for the testimony in this house of Mark Finney, God, that you healed him and you raised him up. And Lord, we just release that testimony over Darlene. And Lord, you'd bless her, and you would bless her to be a blessing to her children and her children's children. Father, bless Darlene. Heal her in Jesus' name, that she may declare your praises. Father, we pray for the Winthrop family. So much grief, so much sorrow in the Winthrop family. And Lord, your word says that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Comforter, we just pray you would go and you just mercy on the Winthrop family in Jesus' name. Lord, there's a lot of speculation on why those people were killed in Houston. And Lord, we pray mercy. We pray, God, that the truth, what really happened, would be revealed in Jesus' name. That if there was any nefarious activity, that the culprit would be caught and be apprehended in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray mercy on the grieving families in the name of Jesus Christ. Comfort, God. Heal the brokenhearted. Mercy, Jesus. Mercy. Lord, we come to you today with humble hearts. And Lord, we ask mercy on our land. There's a lot we can say about that. But Lord, ultimately, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. Lord, you're after our hearts. Because as a nation, God, you've turned away from you. We've rebelled. We've turned to our own way. We've forsaken you. Lord, you're holy. You're holy. You told Israel, you have profaned my holy name among the nations. And Lord, the same can be true about us as a nation. We've profaned your holy name among the nations. God, we ask for your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. We bow the knee. Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to change our hearts. Where our hearts are astray, where we are not aligned with you, that you would convict us and that we would turn back to you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. Lord, we offer it up to you because you are worthy. And Lord, I pray you would bless the offerings and you would bless the givers, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. If you'd like to stand and sing the doxology. Thank you. word is able to break the hardest of wood, the hardest of hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that you would come today and that your word would break those things that keep us from you. It would break our self-will. It would break, Lord. It would just break, Lord. Pray that you would accomplish what you want to do through your word today. Anoint me, God. Give me the words to say that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Holy Spirit, come. Fulfill the purpose of your word today. Holy One, come. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to attempt to sum up what I've been preaching all summer. There's a newsletter coming out this week, and in it are some psalms and some prayers that the Lord's been laying on my heart to pray, and I'm going to land in one today. This is an inductive sermon, which means it's like a big funnel. I'm going to start big, and we're going to land small, okay? And so if you're like, what are we doing, April? That's what we're doing. And we used Psalm 86:11 in our call to worship a few weeks ago. Now, Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, and he's just been broadening that up to me. So my purpose this morning is not only to deliver the word of the Lord, but it's also to teach you a little bit how to study the Word of God for yourself. Because we are living in an age that we have to hear from God. And He speaks through His Spirit. His Spirit authored the Word of God, and we need to hear His voice. And you all have the ability to hear from the Spirit of God. And so I'm just going to teach you kind of some principles of how to study the Word of God. I'm going to read Luke's version of the parable of the soils. If you brought your outline that I emailed you, it's okay if you didn't. But I'm going to read Luke's version, but then we're going to look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, because I really want to focus on the parable of the soils, and specifically the thorny soil. Because if I could make one guess this morning of where most of us are, we probably are right there. We've got thorny soil. So I want to dial in on that a little bit. I think the Spirit of God wants to highlight that for us. And when we feel scattered, any of you feel scattered? Like you're just kind of feel like you're here, you're there, and you're just kind of scattered all about? That's a symptom. That is a symptom of thorny soil. Been there. The Lord's been speaking to me about that. So there's no condemnation in that, but we have to get honest. And as we go through this, I want you all to dialogue with me. You have freedom to dialogue with me, because we're going to glean. Holy Spirit's our teacher. I'm going to share what I have, but I feel like some of you, there are pieces. And so as we go through this and I ask you guys some questions, I want you to shout them out. I'll say it out loud so those online can listen, but I want you to dialogue with me. It's okay to do that this morning. Luke chapter 8, I'm going to read Luke's version of the parable of the soils. Luke chapter 8, I'm starting in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Skipping down to verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, They are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What does the seed represent in that parable? Jesus explains, it's one of the few parables that Jesus explains, and he says the seed is the word of God. The seed is good seed. I got some seeds this past spring. I really wanted to plant some portulaca, rose moss. I love rose moss. It does so well in the summer. I love it. It's so pretty. It's easy to take care of, which is what I need. I'm not a plant guru like Mary Jo. I need simple. I don't need high-finicky plants. So I got some portulaca seeds, and I poured them out. I planted them enough. I know what they look like. I was like, those don't look like portulaca seeds, but interesting. So I planted them, I watered them, set them in the sun. They started coming up. It's like, that does not look like portulaca. Maybe it's a fancy, I don't know. So I'm watching, and I'm like, those sure look like marigolds. And as they started coming up, sure enough, they were marigolds. And it wasn't what they said, but it was okay. But the seed that we get in this parable, it is the word of God. It is a good seed. Good seed. It's clearly marked as the word of God. And there are various types of soil, and Jesus goes through all of those. I'm going to briefly have read that. I'm not going to spend time on it. Some of us come to church, hear the word, walk out the door, you forget it. That's rocky soil. Some of us that's hard soil. Some of us, we hear the word of God, wow, that was good. We may remember it for an hour or two. Maybe we remember it Monday, but then we get really busy and we forget about it and we get overwhelmed and we forget everything, and that's really rocky soil. Thorny soil is we come, hear the word of the Lord. Our intent is really, 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 really good. There are things that are listed here. We're going to go over those and choke out the word of God in our lives. We are living, I would submit to you, in one of the most distracted generations. us are living our lives like a kitten. We're so distracted. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at, look at this. Ooh. And that's cute when it comes to kittens, but it's desperately sad when it comes to our spiritual life. And I think the Lord really wants us. I've told you this last 2 or 3 weeks, I know, maybe longer. Lord is after our hearts. In case you don't know, you don't see it, which I know you do, God's hand of protection is coming off of our country because of our rebellion, because of our turning away from Him. He's like, okay, you want to go your own way? All right. And He's taking His hand off. And we're seeing the results of that in our nation right now. God is holy, and He's also a good Father who disciplines His children. And there comes a point with God when He says He'll come after us, and He'll come after us, and He'll come after us. But if we continue to harden our hearts, okay. Okay. And that's where we are. And the call is for us to come back and say, Lord, have my heart. Here it is. And if you have found your heart is thorny, I want to go into detail now. This is where I want you all to talk to me. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is what they say about the thorny soil. Matthew's version in Matthew 13:22. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Mark's version of this said, and others are the ones sown among thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, which is exactly what Matthew says. And then he says, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Luke says, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Who is ultimately responsible for the word of God in our hearts? Who is ultimately responsible? I take very seriously my job. God has gifted me with the gift of teaching, and I take that very seriously. The scripture says, don't presume to be teachers because you're going to be judged more harshly. Everything I ever preach, I let it work me over first. You may think, April, you're being really hard on us. I've never been harder on you than I've been as hard as on myself. Because I take the word of God and let it work me over first. I take that very, very seriously. But who is ultimately responsible for the word of God in your heart? I'm not. I'm to deliver the word, but you are responsible. You are responsible. The seed is good seed, but it's dependent on the soil of your heart. So I want to break these things down. Let's spend some time thinking about this. What would be modern day examples of cares of the world? Last couple days, and this has happened to me periodically, I took a sabbatical from all social media for about 3 years back in 2015. About 3 years, I just took a break. Wasn't on it at all. And it was so good. And I'm thinking about doing it again. And just the last couple of days, the Lord's been like, April, I just want you to step away from Facebook. Because there's so much going on in our world. And this happened to me during lockdown. Early on, you know, you want to know what's going on, and you're reading the news, and you're reading stuff, and yet I have found that, and the Lord's just been, you know, for me, cares of the world, right now it's trying to keep up on what's going on. Oh, did you hear about this? Oh, they did this. Oh, you know, you hear about all these horrible things, and we need to be informed. I'm not saying, you know, go live in a cave. I'm not saying that, but this constant bombardment with information and all of, we're not made to take so big. It can be financial worries. It can be just, and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, so beautiful. He talks about don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. For the pagans run after all these things, then the Lord knows you need those. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I think that's part of cares of this world. It's just things that we get distracted about. How am I going to pay my bills? Oh no, what's happening to our country? Oh, did you hear about fill in the blank with the politician? Did you hear about what they did? And we just get so fretful and so worried. So open-ended. Cares of this world can choke out the word of God. Family concerns. Oh my goodness. Prodigals in our families that we're so been praying for so long. Family members that just need Jesus. Family members that are broken, but they just need help. Family members that just grate on our nerves, that drive us crazy. Family members that just grieve our hearts because we want them. We want them to know the peace and the love of Jesus Christ. Good one. Thank you. Anyone else? Cares of this world. COVID! Ah! Thought it'd be over by now. Year and a half later, we still got COVID. What's going on? What are we doing? You know, oh, yeah, good one. Did I have anyone else? Yes. Health! Doctor reports. Good one. Cares of this world. Ah, politics. Yeah. Cares of this world. Big one. Safety. What do we need to do? What's the wise thing to do? Good one. Cares of this world. All of these are good. Choke out the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches. All three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about the riches. Deceitfulness of riches is what Matthew and Mark talk about, and Luke just mentions riches. A few years ago, I had to make a decision, and it was a tough decision, and I was writing on a board all of the reasons why I needed to make that decision, all of the reasons why I shouldn't make that decision. My reasons to make that decision were filled up like three, you know, those big papers. Like, I just kept with so many reasons not to make that decision. There were two for me. I was afraid of what people were going to think, and I was afraid. I was like, what am I going to do about money? The New Testament, Jesus talked more about money than anything else. And it's repeated, it's the love of money. Money isn't bad, but it's the love of money that's the root of all of evil. And when we make decisions primarily just because of money, just for the money's sake, we're in trouble. Because money, the pursuit of it, the focus on it, it gets our focus off of Jesus. It's the love of money. It's the root of all evil. And all three of these parables talk about, and the deceitfulness, it's interesting that they both say the deceitfulness of wealth. Because as we get wealthy, you all, we can get really arrogant. We think, well, I'm good. I'm able to make money. So, and the focus is on ourselves. We get self-sufficient. We get arrogant. And that's why wealth is so dangerous. Wealth is a beautiful thing. Some people in the body of Christ, God has made wealthy because he can trust them with it. And he knows they'll be generous with it. But we have to be really, really careful that we're not deceived by wealth in the running after it, in the arrogance of it, in the self-sufficiency of it, because it will choke out the word of God in our lives. The deceitfulness of riches. And I love Mark's version because then he talks about the desires for other things. big blanket statement, the desires for other things. What would be desires for other things that can choke out the Word of God in our lives? Desires for other things can be material things. It can be just working all the time because we want stuff. The desires for other things, and I'm speaking for myself here, the Lord's dealt with me severely the last 10 years of my life. I'm going after the idols in my own heart. And we've talked about this for, you know, several weeks now with King Saul. King Saul sought the praise of men. And that's been a big one for me. The pleasure of men. I want people to like me. And that, what will that eventually lead to? It will lead to me doing what people want instead of what Jesus wants. And that'll choke out the Word of God in my life. The desire for other things. What comes to mind for you all for this desire for other things? Anything come to mind? We want approval of men. We want prestige. We want honor. We want to control things. Anything else? The desire for other things that choke out the Word. Anything come to mind? Security. Security. So we work really hard to get it. Focuses on that. The final one is the pleasures of life. Boy, fill in the blank there. We could talk for hours on that. Fulfillment of the flesh, lust of the flesh, pleasures of life, just anything else, anything than the Word of God, seeking after Him, running after Him. We will spend hours on Facebook, on social media, and maybe spend 2 minutes reading a devotion. We will spend hours watching TV, watching our favorite program, watching the news, and we struggle to spend 10 minutes with Jesus. We spend hours doing our own thing, running around, going to movies. You fill in the blank, going to sporting events. I think one good thing early on about COVID was it forced all of us to stop. Stop. What are we doing? And my prayer for myself and for all of us, I don't want to get back to normal. Honestly, I don't want to. I don't want to. Because we've been so busy running around and we're not focused on Jesus. And I caution to all of us as we're, you know, things are, restrictions are loosening and, you know, normal, whatever that is. But that Jesus would be our center and Jesus would be our focus. So what do we do? What do we do if we're thorny soil? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, pleasures of life. Why do you think Jesus told us this parable? Why do you think he did that? He did that because he wants our hearts. He wants your heart. He wants you. He wants all of you. And so many of us are fragmented. We give Jesus maybe a little piece of our heart. We'll give him an hour on Sunday morning. We might give him 5 minutes during the week. But then the rest of the time we're running around doing our own thing. We may give him an hour on Sunday. We struggle during the week, distracted or disjointed. What do we do if that's where we are? Psalm 86:11. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I used that in a call to worship. I don't remember when, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Give me an undivided heart. All of us have Bible translations that we love. I grew up on the NIV, and when I was memorizing scripture, that's the version that I memorized. Some of you grew up on the King James version, and that's the one you know and love. And all of us have a favorite translation. And the NIV is just one that's part of my language. It's just burned in my brain. And that's the NIV translation that give me an undivided heart. One of the things that really helps me in my devotional life is if I read other translations. Because it broadens out. The Bible is a translation. And translations God's concerned about our nation. And it feels like your heart, you have all of these pieces of your heart, and you're being bombarded with all this information, hours and hours and hours of every day, and we're not made to process all that information. And we feel like our heart is so scattered. Give me a united heart to fear your name. I did some study on that word, and that word means to bring together all of the different pieces. Bring it together. And sometimes it's used, and this is so beautiful. Sometimes it's used, and it's not even, translators can't translate it. Example is Isaiah 45:8. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation may spring up, and let it cause righteousness to sprout up also. That little word is in there. Let it cause righteousness and salvation together to spring up. And that word is to bring those things together. A beautiful prayer that we can pray if we're struggling with thorny soil, with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, the pleasures of life. What are we to do? Father, I come. Here's all the pieces of my heart. As I was praying and as I've been preparing, I've just been meditating on that for 2 weeks. And I just keep seeing, have you ever gone to a museum or you see these beautiful mosaics? These beautiful pieces that are all brought together. They're random pieces that they're brought together and they're made beautiful. And that's what I feel like the Lord wants to do in our hearts. Where we are divided, where maybe we've left him out, we've gone our own way, we just need to offer all of it up to the Lord. So just imagine all of those pieces. As you're listening right now, what are the pieces of your heart? Where is it you feel distracted? What are the things that you're concerned about? Just put them. Imagine this big bowl. And just start just putting them in the bowl. Lord, I give you the worries of COVID. I give you the worries of my family. I give you the worries of this the political situation in our country. Where the state of our nation. Lord, I just give you all of these pieces. All of these pieces. Where I want control. Where I've been rebellious. Where I haven't let you in and I've gone my own way. God, these are all the pieces of my heart. And Lord, I just give it all up to you.